Microphone, are we on?
Yes.
We are.
If you guys want to sing more, that's perfectly fine. A couple of songs, we'll go home. The Dodger game starts at 10:10. So, good morning. Welcome to the... I practiced. I wasn't accounting for the response all week. I was practicing and it was silent. Wow. My kids didn't even listen that well. So, welcome to what I'm calling Open Mic Sundays here at the First Presbyterian Church of Newhall. Now, for the past several weeks, Pastor Bill has opened up the pulpit to those that were inspired enough, or in my case, foolish enough, to take a shot at giving a sermon. I'm pretty sure I'm the village idiot here, so if you're a visitor, please don't base this experience on what we really do on a weekly basis here at the church. What comes out of my mouth just, I don't know. But before I begin this morning's sermon, I would like to tell you a little bit about myself. I've been coming to church here for about 16 years. I'm a member. I've taught Sunday school for about 10 years. And I'm currently the elder of the children's committee. Before going to church here, I grew up in Burbank, where I went to First Presbyterian Church of Burbank. Irwin's, where are you? There we go. There we go. They dealt with me then, and I followed them up here. Sorry. So, something else I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself, on a more serious note, is why I'm here and what I believe. God. I believe that God is the one and only true God, yet He exists in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible. I believe that God reveals Himself to us through the Bible, and that it is true, reliable, and authoritative in the life of faith. Next. People, us, you and me. I believe that we are made in God's image and for His delight. We all fall short of God's intention or His idea for people. We all sin. And the result of that sin is a separation from God. But, salvation. This is where Jesus comes in. When God sent Jesus Christ to earth to live with us. When God sent Jesus Christ to earth to live with us and to die for us. I really messed that sentence up. So we're going to keep moving. This is a free gift from God that gives us salvation for those who believe in Jesus and who accept Him as our Savior. By accepting this gift, we are all welcomed into God's family and will be with Him forever in heaven. So, enough about me. Take that down. Over the past several weeks, there have been many talented people standing up here sharing with you what their idea of God was and how it speaks to them through works of art. Today we're going to continue that theme. Art comes in many forms, styles, shapes, and sizes. It can be a painting, it can be a sculpture, it can be many expressions of the human spirit. Let's look briefly at some world-famous art. What do we have? Do we have some world famous art? There we go. Who knows what this is? Anyone? Anyone? American Gothic. Very good. How about another one? The Mona Lisa. Getting better. Okay. And let's do one more. Sistine Chapel. Very good. Everybody passes today. Okay. Be ready because there may be a quiz at the end of the period. Now, these paintings are all very famous, and I'm sure each of you recognizes them, and each, I'm sure, tells a story. For today's sermon, I have chosen a work of art that also tells a story. Here it is, my work of art and my inspiration. Oh, what have I done? Help me, help us. By a show of hands, how many people have seen this picture before? Thank you. Oh, boy. Now, maybe you've seen this at a pool hall, a local pub. Maybe you've even had a copy of this hanging in your game room, maybe in your garage. I had a copy at one time, then I got married. At first it went to the garage, and then it just disappeared, vanished. Anyway, but we recognize this picture, but what about the author? This picture, and many others like it, were originally painted by a man named Cassius Marcellus Coolidge, who, in the early 1900s, was hired by an advertising firm to create this fine work of art to sell cigars. Now, at the time, Coolidge was doing cartoons for newspapers. That's what he did. But after this, well, the rest is history, and we see things like this pop up all over the place. But let's look at the actual picture for a few seconds here. Let's look around the table at what we have. See, there's different breeds of dogs, right? We got what I think is a lab, some kind of lab up in the top standing there, right? Down below him, that might be some kind of St. Bernard mix. And I'm pretty sure the guy in the left-hand corner, that's the shot caller. I think he's running the table. I think he's in control of everybody. He's making things happen, right? He's taking book, whatever he's doing. Now, as I look at these dogs, I get to thinking about other dogs, other breeds of dogs, and what it is they do. I mean, other than play poker. And while most dogs go through life just happy to be a family pet, many seem to have a purpose. Maybe based on their breed, I don't know. But let's look at some famous dogs, shall we? Let's look at a famous dog. Who's this? Lassie. Very good. How about another dog? Is that another one? Ren Tin Tin. Very good. Have to go back a little bit on that one. That's great. And how about another famous dog? Do we have another one? Ha ha. Scooby Dooby Doo. Where are you? Kind of feeling like Shaggy right now, so I think it might work. Now, all these dogs are very famous and each well-known. But the world is full of unknown heroes in the dog community. In the real world, we have police dogs, we have bomb dogs, we have search and rescue dogs. We have hunting dogs. We also have the seeing eye dog, which now, as I understand, goes by the name or the term of a guide dog. Out of curiosity, anybody in here ever work with or train a guide dog? Anyone? A hand. Oh, thank you. Anybody know anybody that uses a guide dog? Same person? Over there, too. All right. Very good. If I really get these stats wrong, don't call me out in front of people, okay? So, this is the part of my art. This is my inspiration, where the sermon, the Bible, and the art come together. Because up at this point, I'm sure you have no idea what I'm talking about. In preparing for this morning's sermon, I researched the training a guide dog has to go through to earn its qualifications. The qualifications to lead, to protect, and to guide the blind. Now, you might find it interesting to know that a guide dog will start its formal training at about 22 to 26 months of age. And that training takes about 4 to 6 months. With the qualified instructor. After that, the dog will get an additional 4 weeks of classroom training with its blind master. Now, during that time, the dog learns many things, such as how to judge when it is unsafe for the blind to proceed. The dog is taught to refuse a command from its blind master to protect him or her from danger. This action is called intelligent disobedience. I think my children have intelligent disobedience. That just occurred to me. Anyway, as the dog is being trained, the trainer uses basic principles of consistency, repetition, and praise. And praise. That may come up later on. Speaking of praise, I really need to pray right now. The direction this is going. If you would be so kind as to pray with me. Lord, I ask that my words follow your thoughts and your heart. Amen. So, what in the world does a guide dog have to do with God? In preparing for this morning's sermon, I learned that the Bible has dozens and dozens and dozens of passages regarding God leading us, regarding God guiding us. And I find it fascinating. I really find it fascinating that there are so many different passages about the Lord guiding us in both the Old and the New Testament. And as such, I have to believe that this is an issue, a topic, a theme that the Lord takes very seriously. And he's really trying to drive home to us. Let him guide. Now for this morning, I've chosen two passages from the Bible to share with you. One from the Old Testament and one from the New. In the book of Psalms, it is King David who petitions the Lord for protection and guidance. Guidance. Now, a side note, according to the Bible in the book of Acts, King David is said to be one who knew the heart of the Lord. So that's pretty impressive. If you are mentioned in the Bible as knowing the heart of the Lord, that's a very, very good resume. And in the book of Psalms 25, verses 4 and 5, what does David say? Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you, I wait all the day. Now remember, this is King David, who is said to have known the heart of the Lord. So, I'm going to listen to what he's saying. Then, in the New Testament, in John 8:12, it is Jesus who offers this guidance. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me, as I turn too many pages, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Here, I believe that Jesus is telling us that he's the spiritual light of the world. Again, our guide. You know, I mentioned earlier in the beginning that I taught Sunday school, and just a few months ago, the kids learned about how Jesus is a light unto the world in the book of Matthew. And as I taught this concept to the kids, I explained that in order to remain on a path, that we need to see where we're going. And in the darkness, it's easy to get off that path. It's easy to get lost. I shared with the kids that when it's dark, having a light to guide your way can make all the difference in the world. And that Jesus is our guide, our light. This illustration seemed to help the kids to understand how Jesus guides us through life. And as simple as it sounds, I think this illustration works for us as adults also. So, the $64,000 question. By the way, who remembers when the $64,000 pyramid was actually on TV? Dick Clark, right? The 70s? Before disco? I mean, the early 70s? Right? 64 was a lot of money then. So here's the $64,000 question. How do we get to the point where we can joyfully let God guide our lives along the path that He knows is best? You know, for me, I think it's a matter of trusting Him. Just like blind man trusts his guide dog. Shouldn't we also trust God? Shouldn't we learn to trust God? How do we do that, though? That's part B of the $64,000 question. How do we do that? I think to trust, you have to bond. So it's about bonding. And just like the blind man bonds with his dog, we need to bond with God. And think about how the blind man bonds with his dog. He walks with him every day. He talks with him every day. Perhaps even shares a snack with his four-legged friend. And yes, I absolutely am certain that on a daily basis, the blind man praises his dog for guiding him. Praises his dog every day. Didn't I say something about praise coming up again earlier? That would be the part there. I think the actions of the blind man and his dog create a bond. And as silly as it may sound, isn't that what we should be doing with God? Shouldn't we be walking with him every day? Shouldn't we be talking with him every day? Laughing with him? And even crying with him? And shouldn't we be praising him every day? Shouldn't we be bonding with him? You know, the fact that you're all here this morning, I think, is a great sign that we all want to bond with God and to let him be our guide. And I encourage each of us to spend time with God every day, to bond. Think about your best friend, who you trust. Haven't you bonded with them? Now, for those of you that know me, folks, I like to keep things as simple as possible in my life. Perhaps you've heard of the term or the phrase KISS, keep it simple, stupid. I'm not sure who came up with that, but he probably met me somewhere down the line. And in keeping it simple, I just have to believe that if a blind man can trust and bond with his dog, we can certainly trust and bond with God. We can certainly let God guide us. Now, before I close this morning, I'd like to remind you of the importance of going through life with a guide, with the right guide. Because not having a guide can have tragic consequences. In 1846, the Donner Party attempted to cross the Sierra Nevada Mountains on a new and untested route. This was to be a shortcut to the west coast that would take them to an elevation of over 7,000 feet above sea level. Now, the Donner Party had no guide, just an enthusiastic group leader named George Donner, who had a very vague and ambiguous map that left them stranded in the mountains, 7,000 feet, as the winter storm set in. You may recall that many of the group died that winter, with the survivors being forced to eat the flesh of the dead just to get through the winter. I bet the Donner Party learned to realize the importance of having the right guide. Now, Pastor Bill told me that when I conclude my sermon, which I'm doing right now, good for you, that I need to have one sentence. I need to come up with one good sentence that you can take away with you throughout the week that would sum up the message. The message that we need to let God guide us. The message that we need to trust and bond with God. Let God be our guide. A message that you can just repeat, that one sentence, throughout the days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, to sum up what we've talked about this morning. So, my sentence, here it is. I hope. Do we have it? We don't. That's okay, because I have it written down right here. The sentence that I'd like you to remember is this. Dog, spelled backwards, is God. Okay. Not the reaction I was looking for, so I think I better pray. Lord, in the words of King David, show us your ways and teach us your paths. For you are our salvation. Amen.